Lecture 2, Albert Camus, The Stranger, Part 1.
A good place to begin our discussion of existentialism is with Camus' very well-known novel called The Stranger. It captures, in a bizarre kind of way, some of the strange shifts in mind, in consciousness, that existentialism is going to highlight. But I should add, don't take The Stranger as a kind of exemplar of the existentialist standpoint, but rather he's a kind of thought experiment in which many of the features of human nature are brought into focus. Camus was counted as one of the existentialists virtually from the 40s, when Sartre invented the term. He and Sartre were, in fact, quite good friends for some time. They both hit the literary scene in Paris at the beginning of the war, and consequently they were two young men on the make, and they were both involved in the theater in Paris and so on. They broke off around 1955 for reasons we'll get to later. But basically, there was a sense in which Camus never really felt comfortable with the existentialist label, and at one point later in his career, actively repudiated it. For one thing, Camus wasn't the Parisian that Sartre was. Camus was born and raised in Algeria, as opposed to Sartre's rather well-to-do, middle-class upbringing. Camus was brought up in poverty, in fact, rather dire poverty, and he talks about that in some of his novels and his letters. Algeria at the time was in a state of civil war. The Algerian Civil War, in fact, went on for decades, and it wasn't a very comfortable place for a French colonial, especially one as sensitive and as politically egalitarian as the young Camus was. And Algeria figures in one way or another in almost all of his novels. The novel itself, The Stranger, really has to do with the fate of a dull young man who is, like Camus, a French Algerian, a pied noir. Strangely, the turmoil in Algeria is never mentioned throughout the entire novel. What we get is simply a kind of biography or autobiography, or more accurately, what we get a kind of stream of consciousness, first-person report of this young man, Meursault, as he goes through his daily routines. Unfortunately, his daily routines culminate in his committing a rather senseless murder. He is arrested, he is sent to prison, he's put on trial, and he is finally condemned to execution. And the novel ends as he is sitting in his cell, thinking about his impending death, and becoming philosophical as a consequence. Meursault himself is kind of like a blank screen. When writers give us a first-person narrative, very often it is chock-full of reflections, moralizations, interpretations. What we get from Meursault through Camus is really just a very flat, matter-of-fact description of what his world looks like. Because he is such a blank screen, I've often found in the 30 years that I've been teaching this book to undergraduates, it provides a perfect Rorschach test, just to sort of give you some of my conclusions very quickly. When I started teaching this book back in the 60s, and you all remember the 60s, most of my students thought that this basically blank character was really cool. He wasn't involved with anything. He never got upset about anything. He wasn't deeply engaged. He just sort of let life flow. And so he was a kind of a hero. In the 1980s, by contrast, the kind of go-go Reagan years, my students read this book, and they all thought he was, as they put it, a nerd. He had no ambition. He didn't want to do anything with his life. He didn't take advantages of the opportunities he had. When I've done the same kind of survey in the 90s, I'm getting much more mixed signals. I don't have anything interesting to report. But I do want to generalize that the nature of this novel is such that when one reads it, what one comes away with probably has as much to do with oneself as it does with the character that Camus gives us. Why is he strange? What makes him an outsider? Well, there are quite a few things, actually. And just from my description to begin with, you can already infer, if you haven't read the book, that this is a character who is deficient in some basic human ways. He doesn't think. In fact, there are very few thoughts that ever appear in the book until the end. When a thought does occur, it's something like a piece of onion grass that pops up through the crack in a sidewalk. It's really out of place. It's very particular. And most of the time, it's completely unoriginal. For example, one of his recurrent thoughts is what his mother used to say. In fact, one of the ways that Camus sets up the novel to indicate that this character is not everything that we are is he begins with the death of his mother. Now, I should say, if you're writing a French soap opera, if you want a tearjerker, and you want to jerk some tears, there's probably no better plot gimmick that you can use than have a young man lose his mother. But the novel starts with Meursault reading a telegram which says, "Mother died today." And he thinks, from the telegram, I can't tell whether it was today or yesterday. That little bit of chill indicates what's to happen for the next 30 pages. He goes to his employer, dutifully asks for the day off for the funeral, and finds himself kind of apologizing to the employer and saying, well, it's not my fault, you know. Thinking about his mother, he realizes that he doesn't really miss her. And his explanation is, they haven't seen each other for a while anyway. She's been in a home for old people to the south. He reflects on the fact that we really don't have much to say to each other anymore. At the vigil itself, he orders café au lait and sits there pretty clearly restless, obviously not moved. And at the funeral, he's more affected by the heat and the flies than he is by the idea that his mother has died. In short, where any of us, whatever our particular relationship with our parents happens to be, where any of us would feel shock, at a loss, in some sense abandoned in the universe, or just quite simply, grief, we don't get it in Meursault. The strangeness, just to start, is he doesn't feel the emotions that we would feel. He has no morals. Morality requires a kind of consciousness, a kind of perspective on the world that Meursault just can't muster. I mentioned that in Algeria, which was exploding with violence at the time, there's no political opinion that appears anywhere in the book. He also has some neighbors, I would almost call them friends, who are, from Camus' depiction of them, utterly disgusting. He has a neighbor called Salamano, who has a little dog. Salamano is pictured as the kind of guy that we would envision as wearing a trench coat but nothing else. He's really a kind of sleaze. And the dog looks the way he does. At one point, Camus describes this character and he says, I shook his hand, Meursault is talking, I shook his hand and it was kind of reptilian. The dog is covered with mange. And the relationship between the two is the old man drags this little dog along and the dog is choking and whimpering. He gets angry at the dog for making noise. He kicks it. And the dog, of course, yelps in pain. Now, you imagine if this was your neighbor. I suspect you would be on the phone to the SPCA in a minute. But Merceau just takes it as a matter of fact. He's not repulsed. He has no moral qualms. He just kind of at one point muses about the funny relationship between the two of them. He has another neighbor called Raymond. Raymond is actually a key figure in the novel. Raymond, not to be too polite, is a pimp. He basically sells Arab girls and has affairs with them himself. He treats them very badly, and in one of the early scenes of the book, he beats up his girlfriend rather viciously. Merceau is present at the time, does nothing, gives us no indication of any moral repulsion. And when his girlfriend, whom I'll introduce in a second, says, "Why don't you call the cops?" Merceau's only response is, "I don't like cops." He has no ambitions. He works in an office in Algiers, and at one point his employer calls him in and asks him if he would like a promotion and transfer to Paris. Now, you don't have to be too aware of French politics or French literature to know that Paris is the place. That a young man with ambitions, a young man who wants to get on with the job, if he is given a transfer from not just the provinces, but the colonies, into Paris to a better job, would jump at it. Merceau, he says, "Nah." "Why?" "Well, you live one way, live another way. Doesn't make any difference." Most dramatic, perhaps, is his response to his girlfriend, whom he meets very early in the novel. In fact, he meets her on the day of his mother's funeral and begins an affair. Her name is Marie, and of course, she's not described in the book in any detail. No one is described in any detail. But we get the impression that she's a quite lovely Algerian woman, French-Algerian woman. And she's quite fond of him. They go to a Fernand Del film, French comedy. They have a few laughs. They spend time together. They go swimming. And the image we get is that it's kind of a delightful period. Well, somewhat into the relationship, Marie turns to Merceau and asks, "Do you love me?" Now, I suspect all of you have been on the receiving end of that question at some point in your lives. And I think to anyone with blood in their veins, it suddenly raises a certain kind of excitement, whether it's a chill and, "Oh no, what am I going to say now?" Or perhaps it's, "Oh, I've been waiting to hear that so long. Let me answer in kind very quickly." Merceau, no response. He expresses a certain kind of confusion, like, "What a silly question." And then when he thinks about it, he says, "Well, I guess not." When you ask, what is love? An important question for all the existentialists and for all of us. There's a huge variety of answers, of course, that are on the table. One answer, rather simple-minded actually, is that love is a kind of feeling, a certain kind of affection. But I think a more detailed and perceptive answer is love involves decisions, commitments. It involves a keen sense of yourself. In fact, I would argue, what love really comes down to is learning to conceive of yourself in terms of another person. But Merceau understands none of that. So to the question, "Do you love me?" all he can think to say is, "I don't know what you mean, probably not." Some pages later, Marie raises the M question. And if you don't get nervous with the L question, I think all of us get nervous with the M question. "Do you want to get married?" But the response, again, is just kind of blasé. Basically, Merceau says, "If you want to." But he doesn't have any conception of what marriage entails. Doesn't have any conception of marriage as a commitment. doesn't have any sense of marriage as the culmination of love, since he doesn't understand what love is. So he comments, and of course this is all through Rousseau's eyes, he comments that suddenly Marie got a little quiet. We get the picture of her sulking. He doesn't quite understand this, but then they both start laughing and everything's okay again. He isn't empathetic. He has no idea what other people are feeling. And throughout the book, there's this general sense that other people are just kind of there for him. He fits in. In fact, one of the curious things about his personality is he always takes the path of least resistance. So when Marie asks, do you want to get married? He says, sure, if you want to. When Raymond the pimp asks him if you'd like to be pals, and one can imagine this sleazy character asking you, you want to be friends? And I suspect you would run the other way. But Rousseau says, sure, if you want to. So there's a sense in which this is a really empty character. He has no emotions. He has very few thoughts. He never does what I think we would call thinking. He doesn't reflect. He has no moral sensibilities. And the net result is that we have a character who is really kind of a vacuum, and a vacuum through whom we learn to see his world. This culminates at the end of the first half of the book in his murdering a man, and I want to talk about that in some detail in a moment. What's curious about the murder scene is it doesn't look like any murder scene you've ever read before. There's a sense in which what bothers Rousseau is the fact that it's hot. He has a pistol in his pocket, and in front of him is the Arab who, in fact, has stabbed his friend Raymond a few hours ago. And he kills the Arab really because he's hot. That doesn't seem to make much sense. In response to having killed a man, of course, he is immediately whisked away to prison and so on. What he shows, again, is an absence of emotion. He doesn't feel regret. He doesn't really understand what that means. He certainly doesn't feel any guilt. He doesn't understand what that means. He doesn't understand what is happening to him. Prison takes away his freedom. But he comments at one point in prison, why are they taking away my freedom? And the jailer explains, this is part of your punishment. And again, he just accepts it. He has no concept of the future. Not just when his employer offers him this nice job in Paris, he doesn't take it. But when Marie asked about getting married, it's really just a question of doing something now. It's not a question of a lifetime together. He doesn't think about the consequences of what he does. When he puts the pistol in his pocket as he goes for a walk on the beach, it doesn't occur to him, as it would certainly occur to any of us, that this is a dangerous piece of machinery. One might be called upon to use it. One could hurt oneself. One could certainly hurt other people. He doesn't make any plans. He really lives day by day, one might also almost say, moment by moment. And that, of course, is part of the point that Camus is trying to give us. He has no regrets about his killing. He has no feelings of almost any kind. Well, let me take that back. He has no feelings in the general sense of emotion. He doesn't feel grief at his mother's death. He doesn't feel repulsion at his rather sleazy neighbors. He doesn't feel anything that we can recognize as love with his girlfriend Marie. Although you might say there's a certain kind of animal affinity there, or perhaps even affection, no more than that. He doesn't have any feeling about the people he meets all the time. He doesn't have any feeling about his job. And in the murder itself, think about how most authors would describe the scene immediately leading up to a killing. There's no tension. There's no fear. No anxiety. And afterwards, no regrets. But Rousseau very richly feels another kind of feeling. what I think we could call physical sensations. He appreciates, in fact, Camus' prose here can be very lyrical. He appreciates the warmth of the sun. He appreciates the cool of the ocean. He appreciates the smell of brine that Marie leaves behind on the pillow. He has all sorts of physical sensations, which he actually is very involved in. The taste of coffee, his favorite treat. But nevertheless, he doesn't have any emotions. And I would say the link between emotions and thinking here is very important. Philosophers often talk as if these are two opposed matters, occupying different mental faculties or different parts of the brain. But I would argue, and I think this novel bears it out rather nicely, that people without thoughts are often without feelings too. People without feelings are often without thoughts. If you don't have emotions, what is there to think about? And finally, the oddity of the murder. Let me talk about that. The basic story is that Meursault goes off to the beach with his friend Raymond. Because Raymond has already been stabbed in the arm by, in fact, the brother of the Arab woman he has beaten up. He gives Meursault his pistol and says, you better carry this just in case. Now, why you would walk on the beach alone after an incident such as that is already, of course, a question. But Meursault approaches what turns out to be the same Arab on the beach, and the Arab pulls out a knife, which flashes in the sunlight. And Meursault complains. What about? The heat of the sun, and describes again very lyrically the way the sun was scorching his eyelids, the way the rays of light, especially the light reflected from the blade of the knife, were gouging his eyes and scarring his eyelids and so on. It's a very interesting literary discussion because what it has is kind of all the metaphors of the knife, but all translated into the effect of the sun. Meursault takes a step forward, which he comments to himself. It's probably a foolish thing to do, not because he was coming one step closer to somebody who was armed and out for him, but because he wouldn't get out of the sun by stepping one step forward. Anyway, he approaches the Arab, and the description is very graphic. His body tenses up. He says, like a steel spring. The trigger gave. Notice, he didn't pull the trigger. Trigger gave. The butt of the gun hits his palm. Notice, he doesn't fire the gun. He's rather the victim. The bullet hits the Arab. The butt of the gun, by Newton's third law, hits his palm. The picture is that the killing just happens. He's there. He happens to be holding the gun, or the gun is in his hand. But there's a real sense that there's no agency here. Meursault doesn't do anything. In fact, the first active sentence indicating that he's doing something is he shook off the sweat that had accumulated on his forehead. And then he shoots, rather pointlessly, four more shots into the inert body of the dead Arab. It's a frightening scene. And it's frightening because none of the emotions, none of the thoughts, none of the anxieties, and certainly none of the moral qualms that we would certainly feel ourselves are there. But that's the end of part one. And with that, we move into the second part of the book, which is entirely concerned with his imprisonment and trial. Now, let's ask a question. Is Camus politically naive? One of our best political writers who has written on Camus, Connor Cruz O'Brien, says, how could a man who was raised in Algeria have concocted such an absurd story? Let me give you an analogy. Imagine a story in Faulknerian Mississippi set, say, in the 1930s. And here's the plot. A black man stabs a white man. And later on, the white man, or one of his friends, comes across the same black man, who is still armed, shoots him, kills him. Then he's arrested. He's arrested, he's sent to trial, he is found guilty, and condemned to execution. It would never happen. You don't have to see too many Rod Steiger movies to realize he might end up having coffee with a sheriff, and then the whole incident would be quickly forgotten. That's what Algeria was certainly like in the 1940s. There was vicious racism. There was violence all around. And it is one of the less obvious parts of the book that Camus, who is writing in the midst of all this, never once mentions any of these political racial tensions, never once talks about the cafes that were being bombed and so on. When he describes the trial, we're given this rather absurd picture in which a Frenchman is condemned to death for killing an Arab in self-defense. Well, Camus was not politically naive. He wrote voluminously on the Algerian situation and always held out for a kind of humanity. As he put it in one of his essays, the idea is to be neither a victim nor an executioner. But then the question is, what's the point of the trial? Why is there a trial here? And I think to look at it as a kind of political show, or to look at it as many of our modern American dramas would have it, as a kind of added suspense to sort of bring a story together, it's not that at all. I think the analogy here, and it's a very close analogy because it's one of Camus' favorite authors, is with a novel by Kafka written just several years before. Kafka's novel, The Trial, has often been interpreted in a rather dense kind of way as a kind of parody of the Czech legal system. It's terribly inefficient. It is often obscene. In any case, it is not fair. But I think to understand that novel as nothing but a political parody is to miss it entirely. And of course, most perceptive readers and commentators have noted that what Kafka is really doing is capturing something basic about the human psyche. The novel begins with a young man, not too unlike Meursault, who is arrested, apparently for no reason. He tries to find out, what am I being arrested for? And he spends the entirety of the book trying to find out what the charges are and how he can defend himself against them. He never succeeds. And at the end of the novel, he too is put to death, never having figured out what the problem was. It's a novel about guilt and innocence. It's a novel which says, even those of us who seem to be innocent are in some profound sense guilty. And try as we might to figure out what that's all about, we're not going to. But more generally, to be human is to be guilty. And what Camus picks up too is something very much like that theme. So the reason for the trial in The Stranger is that here is Meursault, who up until this point has shown no signs of emotion, no signs of any moral sensibility, and he's put into a situation where he is being judged by his peers, where he is being put into the spotlight of moral judgment in particular. And the point of the trial is, to put it very bluntly, to turn him into a human being. And that means, in part, to teach him what it means to feel guilty. Thanks.